The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at his rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at his rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. They then opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So now, if we this morning, for example, if we just concentrate on the literal meaning and the history of this journey that the Magi took in coming to visit the new baby in Bethlehem, we'll probably go away from here, and it won't make any difference in our lives. Now, we don't know if it just took place as you listen to it in the gospel. I'm not saying it didn't, but it's a beautiful story, and it's absolutely rich in meaning. So we're not going to concentrate this morning on the literal or the history of this story. We're rather going to concentrate on the symbolism. It contains many, many symbols. So we just maybe pick out a few. So here we have three, they're called magi. What do we mean by magi? Well, they could have been astrologers, or they could have been, they could have been seekers or wise men. Today, we would probably refer to them as scientists, because they were actually into astrology, and they were following a star and so on, so they could read the signs of the stars. And so we have three pretty intelligent people coming to see this little baby in Bethlehem. And we're told when they arrive there, they bowed down, they prostrated themselves before the child. Now, normally, very clever people and scientists and so on are not very willing to bow down, you know, before a little baby, you know, a little tiny baby in a little cot or in a little crib. So here we have first symbol. See the connection. Scientists come and they're seeking and they find Jesus. Now, I hope that your life, all your lives here, are a search for God. And you might say, well, why do you say that? We're here, we're at Mass, we have God in the palm of our hand. We know all about God. No, you'll never know all about God. Our whole life ought to be a search for God, for the purpose of life, the meaning of life. You know, so many people today, young people and older people, will tell you, will admit when they come and they're really looking into their own heart, I don't really even know myself. I'm trying to find out what life is all about. And here we have three scientists, intelligent, wise people coming because they're on a search for God, ultimately, but a search for meaning in life. And so, a good question to ask yourself, for a moment, think of your notion of God, your concept of God. Is it any different from what it was 10 years ago, or 20, or from the time you were a child? And I find, to my astonishment, that very often people have the same idea, the same concept of God as they had 50, 60, 70 years ago. I have to look at my own life and look at my idea of God and my concept of God. And I find it sometimes hard to believe where I am today in relation to God, and even where I was 5 years, 10 years ago, and certainly 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's totally, totally changed. And I never fully know God in this life. It's a continual search, a continual getting to know God, to have a relationship, so that it transfers from the head down to the heart. So that's a very important symbolism in the gospel today. How did they find Jesus? How did they find the baby and go away hopefully changed? They had to take risks. They had to set out on a journey. We're told they were wise, they were people from the East. So they were of a totally different religion. We don't know what religion they were. They could have been Hindus or Zoroastrians, I think is the word. They could have been any religion. And God welcomed them. And the other symbolism there is God came for all. Look at ourselves. And for a long time, I feel guilty about this. I thought anybody who wasn't a Catholic didn't have a hope in hell or being saved, because we were the only ones who were going to be saved. And a lot of us thought that, didn't we? And we gave that impression. We gave that impression. It's like an Irish priest one Sunday at Mass, he said, "Stand up, all those who want to go to heaven." And of course, the whole church stood up. And he said, "All those who want to go to hell, remain standing." And there's one old guy at the back of the church called Murphy. And the priest looks at him and he says, "Murphy, do you want to go to hell?" "No, Father, but I'd hate to see you going there all on your own." So, that's the way it happens, like that, you know. So, Jesus came for all, and that's a great symbolism in the gospel this morning. God loves everyone, and we've got to realize that. And we might think we're the only ones, but we are not. We are not. And then a very important thing, and we'll finish on this point. They came and they brought gifts. Very important, maybe the most important thing in the gospel this morning. They came and they gave something. Now, you got to give gifts in order to receive gifts. You got to feed in order to be fed. That's very important. You got to give of yourself. Now, I want you to look seriously at that. And we can very easily get into the comfort zone, if you use that word, of, well, I come to Mass every Sunday. I come every Sunday to Holy Family. I sit there for an hour, absolutely bored, and then I go home. But then I've done my bit for God. No, it's much more than that. It's much more than that. People, again, and as a priest, I've come across this many, many times. I meet somebody, and they no longer practice their religion or have anything to do with the church, and they'll tell you very often, "I wasn't fed by the church. I wasn't fed by the church." Well, I wouldn't always ask them, but I would be thinking, well, did you feed the church? Did you feed the church? Did you ever get involved in any ministry? Did you ever do any volunteer work? Did you ever give yourself to anything or anyone? Did you have any guiding star in your life? I mean, that's why, if you think about it, that's why most people get married. Now you have somebody in your life that you love, that you take care of, and it brings you out of yourself. Because if you don't, you're not going to have a happy marriage. And so a lot of people, you just live your own little lives. You might come to Mass every Sunday, but you never get involved in anything. You just walk away. You walk away. Well, you're not going to have any real joy or real happiness in life. It's amazing. It is to me amazing. All the times that somebody dies and their co-workers and their neighbors and people who knew them well for years say, "I never knew they were Catholic. I never knew. And I only find it out because now they're having a funeral mass in the local Catholic church. Are you one of those? Do you hide your faith? Do you hide the fact that God matters to you in your life? That comes across in the gospel this morning. That's the challenge. It's a lovely story. It's a beautiful story. But as I said at the beginning, if you just think about the three people coming, oh, it's very, very nice, and the little baby in the crib and so on, you're not going to... It's a challenge. I feel challenged. As I'm talking here to you, I'm thinking, yes, it is a challenge. Do you feel challenged? Do you feel challenged by what I've just been talking about, by the gospel this morning? It's a great story and a great symbolism at the beginning of the new year. It's a new beginning in all our lives. I hope it's a new beginning in your life. I hope that you will find a new commitment in your life, that you will cross boundaries, so to speak. You will, like the people in the gospel this morning, you will take risks. Life is about taking risks. You can't always, well, not me. That's no way to live your life. Take risks. Live life. You haven't got many days. We've only got a limited number of the days. And looking at some of us here this morning, myself included, they're very limited. So, you know, don't waste time. Go out there. Live life to the full. Be enthusiastic. It's a beautiful word. Enthusiastic. What does that mean? Comes from two Greek words, en, in, theos, in God. So somebody who lives life enthusiastically are living it in God. And life is beautiful. That's the challenge in the gospel this morning. So somebody now is yawning, so that's a sign, finish. I don't miss a thing, right? I'm not looking at anybody, but it's amazing what you can see up here. So be very careful, right? So let's stand now and recite our creed.